Hi, everyone. I'm Josh Nason, and this is JNPL Classic here on WrestlingObserver.com. Our weekly look back at the 1 year I did doing the WGAM MMA show on ESPN New Hampshire back in 2011-2012, a mix of news, interviews, and pretty much everything you expect from a radio show. This week's show was a big one, going back to August 18th, 2011. What was so big? Well, the UFC was heading to Fox. That's right. It's so coincidental. Now they're kind of looking if they're going to renew with Fox, go somewhere else. Back in 2011 in August, they were actually heading to Fox. It was the announcement made, or it was kind of unofficially made, but made that story got out that they were heading to Big Fox. There were no real details at the time. But what I really found interesting about this show, looking back at all this this time later, was all the speculation that PJ and I did, and kind of the excitement of how is this going to work? You know, were they going to try to move more pay-per-views to Fox TV? And FS1 wasn't even a glint in their eye, or wasn't even a reality, I guess you could say, at this point. So it really was a question of how this whole thing was going to work. And they hadn't done an official press conference or anything yet. So we really didn't know. So it's kind of fun looking back in the 6 years later of how things actually went and what we thought they were going to, back in August 2011. So we talked a little bit about that. We interviewed Dwayne Bang Ludwig. Now he's a retired MMA fighter. But if you remember, he fought in one of my favorite fights of the year, and really still of all time, against Amir Saddal the week before on a UFC on Versus show. You can find that show, obviously, in that fight, obviously on Fight Pass. But I got so excited I was able to get him on the show, and we talked about that fight and his like memorabilia collection, and also the controversy about the four-second knockout he got that wasn't actually called a four-second knockout. So we talked a little bit about that. Decent interview, but I think you'll have some fun with it. And then also we closed out the show with Kimbo Slice was starting his boxing career. And obviously his career would take a lot of twists and turns as he ended up coming back to Bellator. But back then, 2011, he was going to boxing. So interesting that his run through those ranks. And that's it. So I'm going to let you get to the go of the show. UFC is heading to Fox, everyone. What's going to happen? Let's listen to that and more on the August 18th, 2011 edition of the WGAM MMA show right now. The UFC is set to make a huge announcement, and we'll tell you how you will be affected. Plus, we'll review this past Sunday's awesome UFC on Versus event, and we'll talk to one of the night's big winners who will bring it with a bang. It's all coming up next as the WGAM MMA show is live. Hey, everyone. Josh Nason, PJ Hewitt here with you. Very newsworthy week. We have a lot to talk about. We're going to talk a lot about TV, UFC and TV, and you've been familiar with it on TV, obviously, but not like this. We'll talk about UFC on Versus this past Sunday. And we'll also talk to Dwayne Bang Ludwig, a MMA veteran, a kickboxing veteran, a Muay Thai veteran, who opened up the UFC on Versus televised show. And one of, I was telling PJ before we came on the air, one of my favorite fights I've seen, actually, of this year. It was awesome. So having said all that, hi, PJ.
Hi, Josh.
What's happening?
It's a beautiful, beautiful night.
Yes, it is a beautiful night. And it will be a beautiful night for the UFC in the future. Many beautiful nights.
I think Dana White is very, very happy. I think it's probably the biggest news concerning the UFC since the purchase of Strikeforce earlier in the year.
Yes, the big announcement being that the UFC has purchased the WGAM MMA show.
Are we getting a raise?
No.
Oh.
That's part of the deal. I brokered the deal. I forgot to tell you about this.
Oh.
So you'll be coming with me, but you'll be my assistant, and I'll be the guy that holds the camera for Dana White's video blogs assistant. So it's just a chain. It's just a chain. So all kidding aside, the big news is to be formally announced at a press conference in Los Angeles is that the UFC has made a deal with Fox. You've heard us talk on this broadcast about the UFC's TV deal with Spike running out. Speculation was going to be that they were going to stick on, they were actually going to fully move over to the Viacom family, aka NBC. So they would have, you know, the idea is that, you know, they have broadcast on NBC, obviously Versus, which is going to change to what NBC Sports at the beginning of next year. that relationship would remain, and there would be more of a all stuff would move off Spike and stick with this NBC family. However, earlier this week, it kind of broke by the Sports Business Journal that was not the case, and now Fox is in the running, and the deal looks to be between 7 and 8 years at $90 million per year. So you talk about rights fees. That's a good bump. I think I had heard, and I'd actually verify this, that their deal with Spike, I think, was around 50 or 60, I think, per year, something like that. I can't confirm that, but I believe I've heard that in the past few days. So the idea is that, again, not confirmed, it'll be confirmed at a press conference, is that the UFC will have up to 4 major events on Fox, the broadcast network that you see the NFL on, and Family Guy, so good lead in there. You also, the Ultimate Fighter will move to FX, the home of many a great show, including Louis, one of my favorite shows.
Wilfred. Former great shows like The Shield.
Yes. A former great show called Rescue Me. That's a different show we could talk about. FX, and then also Fuel TV, which is another network that is in the Fox family. They'll put some other programming on that as well. So, as we wait for this to be formally announced, this is the UFC's first foray into true broadcast television. Granted, in the cable era, things have changed, but what were your thoughts when this whole thing broke?
I think it's great for UFC. It's great for mixed martial arts in general. It now has the biggest company on network TV, something that Dana White and Zuffa have been striving for years. And we've talked about in the past how they've tried to get on Showtime and HBO, but they had ran into problems, and even network TV in the past. But they ran into problems because they wanted to control the production elements. So I assume that once this press conference is made, that is going to be one of the points that Dana White said or mentions, that they will control the production aspect. So everything will still be, you know, UFC run, business as usual, if I may venture to use the term.
You did.
So, but it's great for the sport to have it, because let's face it, the deal with CBS and Elite XC, that wasn't very good, at least not for them. They lost a ton of money. It wasn't the brand that everybody knew. They did not have the best fighters in the world. They had some good fighters, but not the best fighters in the world. This is great for the sport. It's great for the UFC, and great for us, especially, too, because we get to talk about it.
So there's some questions, obviously, that, you know, some of them PJ alluded to about the production value and who will be controlling that. I would assume that it would be UFC. We'll find out a little bit more about that. One of the jokes made is, you know, even if they control the production value, does that mean the Fox robot will still make an appearance?
God, I hope not.
Major advantages. Obviously, again, the landscape has changed in that network. Being on a network does not mean as much as it used to, just because so many people have cable TV, direct TV, any type of the 500 channel universe and all that. So people have access to more stuff now than ever before. But it's kind of like a status symbol type of thing. The fact that, you know, the NFL is on network TV, Major League Baseball, the NBA, and so on, that there's no major sports organization out there that does not have a network deal. And now they do. So it's good for them in that aspect. There's cross promotion possibilities with the NFL. This deal would start at 2012, by the way. So you could potentially see some crossover and some promotion towards the end of this year, obviously, with NFL games, the beginning of next year when the playoffs start. So that crossover, it'll be interesting to see how they – obviously, Fox wants to make money off this. They're not doing it just to have something else. But the questions now come in, okay, if there's 4 major events on Fox, they're going to want big events. They're not going to want, you know, the Versus-style shows or something like that. Those are shows that will be on FX. So they want a certain amount of viewers. And so does that mean for the UFC – they still have the same amount of pay-per-view events, or do they shift for those events over to Fox and do those style fights? Or is it some sort of hybrid? Again, you probably, one of the points I made yesterday, you're probably not going to see a GSP or a Brock Lesnar fight on Fox, just because there's so much, when they're on pay-per-view, there's so much money made from there. Certain, you know, trump cards you don't want to play there. However, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago, we're talking about the fact that Dominic Cruz and Demetrius Johnson, it's the first title fight ever on cable TV, not on pay-per-view. So with these expanding championships, eventually you're going to have a flyweight champion. You're going to probably see more title fights, I would assume, especially on that first show. You're probably going to see bigger fights and pay-per-view style cards as opposed to maybe a versus card.
Yeah, and I think they'll probably just X out those four pay-per-view events a year. and more than likely with championships on the line, but not the GSP, the Brock Lesnar, the Anderson Silva types, because those fights generate so much money and bring in a lot of money through pay-per-view. So yeah, you probably won't see them fight on cable, but those other ones that they don't draw as well, those... the lower fights or the lower championships, the lighter
like
championships.
Like a Jose Aldo, Dominic Cruz,
right.
Or a...
I would say you probably even could see, you know, Gray Maynard, Frankie Edgar. That would be one, I think, that would be a TV fight.
Point. Okay.
Because not a lot of people know those guys. The hardcore MMA fans know who they are, but they're obviously trying to branch out and expose more people to bring more people into the sport. And a way of doing that is... you know, to have those championship fights. So I think that's probably what will happen. Who knows? Only Dana White and Zuffa know. Maybe they don't even know yet.
Right.
They probably have ideas, and otherwise, how would they other be able to sign this deal? But
well, let me ask you this: being on network TV, do you think this will bring new people to the dance, or do you think that if Americans, we'll just talk about just America, right? Do you think that enough Americans could have found it if they wanted to, and will this bring anyone new in?
I think some people could have, you know, or could have found it if they wanted to, but maybe they don't necessarily go looking for it. They've never seen it, but a guy, you know, maybe who's never really been into mixed martial arts before, or gone and checked out the UFC, but still is a very big NFL fan. Now you're going to see those promos come across the, you know, NFL and UFC, we have the World Series on Fox, we have X amount of college bowl games on Fox.
Yep.
Then you, I think you start bringing that in. But it's always going to be, network TV is always going to have more viewers than any cable, even though most people have cable now.
There's a reason the Super Bowl is still on network TV.
Right.
Yep.
And not on ESPN.
There's a reason the World Series is on.
Right.
Yeah, very true.
Because there are some people who still don't have cable.
Yeah.
Again, those very few people, but you'd think very few people, but it's one of those things. You know, cable costs a lot of money. DirecTV can cost a lot of money.
Yep.
And some people just don't want to spend it. You know, they're happy with just the few channels they get with their basic cable package.
Yeah, I wonder, the biggest part of this is the cross-promotion. Because if it's not mentioned on the NFL, again, it's making people aware that it's there. And granted, out of any mixed martial arts brand, even combat sports brand, including boxing, the UFC, those names, it's the biggest name in the business. There's a reason they draw almost $500 million on pay-per-view is because they have that name, they have that brand cachet. So the fact that Fox is getting them, that's a huge thing for them. Now they have an asset that they're going to want to make money off. How they cross-promote, that will be the key to whether this works or not. That will be the key where the events are placed, if they're traditional events, and the quality of the fights. And I would expect that first show... you're not going to see a similar style like you brought up a Lady Dixie on CBS. So MMA has been on network TV before. Late night, nobody used to watch these, but late night at NBC, these show Strikeforce events. They were 1 hour, basically best of shows. Even I didn't watch those. You know, they were like the ones like after SNL, after Poker After Dark. You know what I mean? It's like
right.
2 a.m., 3 a.m., something like that. There was just like a
1 hour recap show.
Right. But there was... Strikeforce or Elite XC had some shows on CBS, have never come back. So there's also that element, because that deal was still kind of like it ended, but it was never like fully canceled. So that could happen. So how Strikeforce plays in this whole thing, if they could be on CBS. So it's interesting. But regardless, I would say it's a huge positive. Be interesting to see the final details, but it's also a long deal as well, 7 or 8 years. So, I mean, again, who knows what the business is going to be like in 7 or 8 years? You know, is pay-per-view going to be the same, phased out? I mean, how is it going to go? But I would say overall, overwhelming, this is a positive thing, not just for the UFC, but I'd say for the sport in general.
Yes, and speaking of a company like Bellator, well, we talked to Bjorn Rebny, and he's come out and he kind of hinted without really saying that if UFC were to leave, they could be a potential to fill that spot in either Fox or Versus, you know, to kind of slide right in there and get them off MTV too. And kind of boost their viewership that way. And I think it'd be great for them because people are going to be used to going to Versus and Spike to see MMA.
Yep.
So I think it's better for them to if they make that move off MTV2 to someplace where people know where MMA existed already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that Bellator has a chance to be big winners in this as well. It's because if Spike says, so here's the thing. So Spike says we still want MMA on this network. If they're going to still stay with the guys tinge, and there's been some question about whether or not they're going to do that, which is where this whole thing kind of really started. You know, the TV deal's up, and normally the ratings are not where they were 5 years ago for the UFC. They're less. It's less of a new thing. You know what I mean? It's kind of not gone downhill, but it's more, you can get more of it on TV, so it's not as isolated. It's not as special. We talked about that before as well, whether or not there's too much. So if Spike says, we still want an MMA entity on this network, Bellator's the obvious choice. And there's also talk about Pro Elite, which is a group, really is resurrected. The former Elite XC has been resurrected, and there's talk about them doing some network stuff, which is kind of weird because they don't really have an established name, but just take Bellator. Bellator then already has an established format with tournaments. They have an established roster, and with a move to a bigger network, brings more money in, and they can go get some of these free agents that the UFC may cut, but they may be names. You know what I mean? It's kind of that they can still play in that space, and more viewers for them. You know, more of an emphasis on the product, the fact they'd be in HD, which a lot of people would love. You know, it's funny, you know, MTV2 is still in standard definition, and you watch it, and you definitely notice a difference, and I don't care. You know, I mean, I'd rather watch it than not watch it, but there's some people that are just like, I want to see it in HD. It's the reason I have this. So with that move, they could be in HD, have more money, and what I think would be most important is that they'd have a weekly, I would assume, a spot during a weekday as opposed to a Saturday where you're going up against UFC events, and you're also, when you're not going up against UFC events, a lot of times Saturday nights, you know, you're not seeing Bellator in bars. You know what I mean?
Right. No, yeah, the bars don't have MTV2 on.
Yeah, they're not going to switch to MTV2. I want to watch Bellator. Like, what? What is that? What is that, Bell? Is that some drink? Is that some sort of shot?
What are you talking about? The Red Sox are on right now.
Yeah, exactly. So, but with on a Wednesday or Thursday night, if they did something like that, you know, assuming that if Spike was to take it, they're probably going to keep TNA Wrestling, which is on Thursday nights, because it still pulls a decent rating for them. But if they did it on Wednesday nights, there's nothing really else on Wednesday nights. Just kind of, it's midweek. That'd be a perfect slot for them and a chance for them to get some more exposure. So yeah, it's kind of an interesting week, business wise, UFC and potentially Bellator. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. And can say, look, this can only, I think, be better for the sport, or make the sport better and expose it to more people, get more people involved. I think it's the good all around, and even for the competition, good for the competition as well.
Absolutely. So we'll, in a few minutes, we're actually going to talk to a man that was on TV the other day, and Dwayne Bang Ludwig, a huge win at UFC on Versus. And real quick before the break, let's talk about the main event of UFC on Versus, Chris Lytle versus Dan Hardy. Chris Lytle's last fight before retirement, Dan Hardy's last stand, or so we thought. Didn't disappoint me. What about you?
No, it was a very, very good fight. You knew Chris Lytle was going to be coming out there and trying to win his last fight. They kind of broke a little bit late last week. During the weigh-ins, he handed Dana White a thank you letter.
Yes. A letter. People write letters in 2011. Yeah. Imagine that.
Well, I'm sure it was typed. I don't think it was handwritten out.
That would be awesome. What does this say? I can't even read it.
So, then going to the fight, and Dan Hardy, you know, he was fighting for his UFC career. Mm-hmm. And for the first couple rounds, Lytle was probably going to win that fight if it made it to a decision. But Hardy made a mistake, ended up getting choked out. But after the fight, it was said that he would not be cut.
Lorenzo
comes out.
I like guys that war.
There's the term you really love.
Yes, that's a Jim Rome term.
Yeah.
War. Jim Rome used to be on the station.
Yes. going way back.
Yeah, going way back.
But yeah, so Hardy, four losses in a row now in the UFC, but he's going to get one more shot.
Yeah, it's... I first heard that, I wasn't like, yay!
He's not going to be headlining, I can almost guarantee.
Yeah, he's going to take some time off, which is good. I think he should... I think he said take some time off and train differently or something like that. I think he's just take, like, a long time away from everything, you know, just get out of it. Cause at this point it's just so much probably negative, like karma and all this stuff that's in his head. He just needs a complete break. It's too bad that Chris Lytle is retiring. Cause he won and one thing we didn't mention. So he was going in this, I think he was tied for the most amount of fights of the night And he won Fight of the Night for this one and Submission of the Night. I think his total bonus money for his career, I heard today, was over $500,000 for his career.
Yeah.
Just bonus money.
I won 130 of that coming by way of the bonuses in this last fight.
Yeah. So he got, I think his base pay was 60 or 70 grand, I think I read. And, yeah, he ended up making it a lot more than that. But yeah, he's going to retire. He said he's serious. Dana White thinks he's serious. I think he's serious. He just, title shot. It would be kind of fun to see him fight for a title shot. And I think everyone was kind of hoping that that was the direction it was going in. But I think 170 is kind of deep. And I think he wants to spend time with his family. He's in his late 30s and it's kind of like, I'm good. And
yeah, he's also still a full-time firefighter.
Yeah, full-time fireman. And he wants to run for state senate, I believe, in Indiana. He wants to run for public office. So he wants to be a busy guy. So it's Chris Lytle. So we'll talk more about the rest of the card in a minute. But yeah, Chris Lytle beating Dan Hardy. We'll talk about our streak continues. Jim Miller.
Ooh.
Friend of the show. I meant to look before we started recording as far as what the records are, but it's not good. It's not good. But luckily, we're talking to a guy next that won this past week.
Does that count?
Hooray! We'll have it in the win column. Dwayne Bang Ludwig will join us after the break, and he'll talk all about his win over Amir Sadala. You're listening to the WGAM MMA Show, New Hampshire's ESPN Radio, WGAM, the game. All right, back on the WGAM MMA Show, and we're waiting to get in touch with Mr. Ludwig. Ludwig. We'll wait for him just a second. So we'll talk a little bit about the UFC on Versus Kyle. We touched briefly on Hardy versus Lytle, which was the main event. We'll go to the co-main event, which was equally as awesome, and if not more awesome. This was Jim Miller versus Ben Henderson. Jim Miller wins. He gets a lightweight title shot. Ben Henderson wins. He's in the mix. And the talk all week was really that Jim Miller was essentially, this was like, I don't want to say like a guarantee, but it wasn't a guarantee, but people were just like, title shot, title shot, title shot, title shot. He's not going to get a title shot.
No, right he's now. Not.
He lost via unanimous decision to Ben Henderson. Henderson was essentially dominant throughout the entire fight.
He looked very, very good.
Miller was still trying to submit it from the bottom, and Henderson was getting out of it, but he was just pounding on it. Every aspect of the game, Henderson dominated. How'd you see it?
Well, at least Jim Miller was, you knew exactly what his game plan was, and his game plan was submit Ben Henderson. And he had a couple attempts in that first round, but Ben Henderson was clearly winning on the striking. And every time that Miller would go for a submission, he would leave himself exposed. He was using, Joe Rogan talked about it on the broadcast, when he using both of those hands or committing both of those hands to try to get an ankle or something like that, he's leaving his head exposed, and Ben Henderson was taking full advantage of it, and he beat him up.
Yeah,
then he looked more and more impressive throughout the fight, and Jim Miller just couldn't keep up with his pace.
Yeah, Miller's head was at a disadvantage.
Yes.
That was for sure. So now it's kind of interesting. So Ben Henderson with the victory. Now, essentially, who gets the next title shot? There's a lot of talk of almost immediately after the fight, it was everyone wants to see Ben Henderson against Clay Guida next. Because if you kind of look at this whole mix, let's talk about some of the top guys, right? So Melvin Gillard, who we've interviewed on the show before in a golf course, we talked to him, and he is fighting Joe Lozano in October, and everyone thinks he could be next in line. There is Ben Henderson. He is without a fight. There's Clay Guida, who is right now without a fight. So those are the three that come to mind for me, like next in line for Frankie Edgar Gray Maynard. Who would you like to see fight for the title next?
Well, Clay Guida would be interesting to see Ben Henderson. I'd like to see that fight. And I'm going to actually break away right now because Mr. Ludwig is calling in right now.
Very good. So I will talk about who I'd like to see. I would like to see a scenario where Ben Henderson takes on Clay Guida, and after that, the winner of that, depending on Melvin Gillard, I think Melvin Gillard is probably the guy that really should get the shot next. He's earned it. If he can beat Joe Lowe's in October, I think he gets that next title shot. And then I think that you have Ben Henderson, and I think you have Clay Guida fight. The winner of that gets the next shot after that. I think that would make the most sense. That'd be the most logical. And I think it'd be the most entertaining as well. And who would not want to see Clay Guida fight for the title? Right, PJ?
Oh, absolutely.
So we're joined by our guest?
Yes.
Perfect.
We are.
So speaking of big winners, we are joined now by a man who made a huge impression this past Sunday, UFC on Versus. One of my most favorite fights I've seen this year. It was awesome. I can't wait to talk to him about it. Dwayne Ludwig joins us on the WGAM MMA show. And Dwayne, I appreciate you joining us. And I got to ask you, after that 3-round battle with Amir Sadala, how are you feeling?
I'm hurting a little bit, but it doesn't hurt as bad because I got the win.
You certainly did. And I'm not just saying that, man. I was like enthralled for 15 minutes, watch you guys go toe to toe. It was awesome. I mean, those are the fights I would assume as a guy that's had a background as extensive as yours in kickboxing that you must have just been loving it.
Yeah, it was definitely fun. While I had the gas at the end of the third round, I didn't really kind of run out of the gas, but it worked out, so I was happy.
Nice. So with that, you know, I think one of the things with a lot of newer fans these days, or more the casual fans coming into the sport, is they may not understand how big kickboxing used to be back in the day, or when people, you know, they throw around the term Muay Thai. For the casual fan, how would you explain the sport of Muay Thai and how hard hitting a sport that is?
Well, hard hitting is definitely full contact, but it's pretty close to no rules kickboxing. Of course, you can't headbutt or strike the groin or bite, but definitely knee, elbow, kick, punch. So it's UFC for rules with no grappling.
So when the UFC, how have you made that transition in, or how do you combine that? Obviously, you come into mixed martial arts with that skill. I guess what was the skill that was most difficult for you to pick up next? Was it jujitsu? Was it the grappling?
It was the wrestling. It was the finding the gray area between striking and wrestling itself, and knowing what combos to throw. You know, not to get greedy, to limit your combinations, to move, cut the angles, so you're not directly in front for the takedown, and what strikes are, you know, leave you more vulnerable for a takedown, and things like that. That took the longest, but the last 2 years I've kind of had a little bit of an epiphany in training, and instead of training to defend takedowns, I train as a wrestler now. I'm a wrestler, so there's no area where I am not going to be threatening my opponent anymore.
So it sounds like you have one of your biggest fans right there with you.
Yeah, that's Dwayne Bang Ludwig there.
Very cool. So talk about the past few years. You mentioned that. Now, you had this, you know, the second stint in the UFC coming back in 2010. You come in with a couple losses, and all of a sudden you look really good in a couple wins. Did you make some changes, or things just kind of just, you know, get in a good roll and where you're at right now with two straight wins?
The changes I made is I moved up to 170, and my opponent is no longer the scale, but the actual name on the fight card. So with that in mind, when I step into the gym now, it's not to sweat and burn calories, but more to become more of a complete mixed martial artist, and that is what has changed for me.
Now, Dwayne, you said you were really excited to get the win. You also seemed, after the fight, really excited to be talking to Joe Rogan. You had something for him to sign. Tell us a little bit about that and how that came to happen.
Man,
to get that doll.
Cool. I'm a big round five collector. I got probably 90% of them. And since I know, you know, most of the guys, I have a figure, getting them signed and stuff and just kind of building my own little collection is definitely fun for me. Like, that's really the only hobby or only thing that I do outside of fighting. I fight, teach, spend time with my family, and then my hobby is round five toys. So it was cool, man. I mean, that was genuine. It wasn't like a sponsor plug or nothing, man. It was just straight up wanting to get Joe Rogan's signature. So it was definitely fun for me. I'm a kid at heart. I still have fun with what I do and enjoy each day and every moment in the now. I don't try to live in the past or the future, but to enjoy the moments that I have now.
So he did. Joe ended up signing that for you, even though he said it didn't look like.
He forgot and tried to take off, and I was like, "Whoa, Joe! No, I need you to sign this, man." So it was cool, man. I got a lot of, like, I have other figures too. Like, I have the Japanese Pride ones, the HAOs, and then the K1 figures. So I have quite the collection of autographed memorabilia.
What would you say is your favorite one?
My favorite one is my Boss Root in round five.
Yeah, we actually.
And then, my most rare one is probably the HAO figure of Fedor, because I was able to get that signed as well. And you don't see signed Fedor stuff too much, so that was cool.
So tell me about that experience, getting an autograph from Fedor.
I don't know what the hell he's saying. You know, it's autographed and little nod and it's goodbye. So, but it's definitely cool. But also, I have a signed Kokop figure as well that Brandon Schaub got signed for me. So that was cool. After he knocked Kokop out, he got my figure signed for me. So I was happy for that.
So do you have like a room in your house where all this stuff resides?
I did. I'm in a new house now, and all my toys are in plastic tubs in the attic, waiting for their new home.
Very cool. Talking to Dwayne Bang Ludwig. Big win this past Sunday. And just in general, I mean, talk about your career. You've been competing in MMA since 2000, obviously kickboxing as well. You fought against so many guys, and I love to ask fighters this. You fought against the names like, you know, the Jens Pulvers of the world. You fought against, you know, the Tyson Griffins, Paul Dalys, you know, Amir Sadal. You fought against all these guys, Lyle Beerbohm, Yves Edwards, all these guys, Takanori Gomi, on and on and on. Do you have one fight that's in MMA that's your favorite or one that sticks out?
Jens Pulver, he was the number one pound-for-pound guy at the time. And just the way that fight went down, either that or my four-second knockout of Goulet in the UFC. Those are probably my two favorite fights, just because, you know, one's history and they're both history, so it was definitely cool.
One of the things you mentioned is this 4-second knockout, and there's some controversy behind that. So we want to help you, you know, let's get a, you know, groundswell of a, you know, of passion behind this, and then let's get people, you know, to raid the UFC and tell them to switch this. Tell us a story about what is the issue with this 4-second knockout, and why are they not recognized this as the fastest knockout in UFC history?
I completed the knockout at the 4-second mark, and they called it 11 seconds. I don't know why. The only explanation that I can come up with is that the timekeeper was in shock, as we all were, and forgot to hit the timer, forgot to hit stop. So that's the only thing I can come up with. I don't know why. I have no idea why they call it 11 seconds.
And this was back January 2006 against Jonathan Goulet, and yeah, it's for some reason. So, did Dana have you mentioned this to Dana at all, and see if he can potentially get this fixed, or what's the story?
In passing, just kind of jokingly, but not serious until now. Now I'm taking it serious because it is history and it is mine, and I do deserve it.
So, have you been given any advice on how to fix this or how to change?
Well, it's who monitors that is the athletic commission itself. So. What I have to do, my plan is, right now I have a Facebook petition going, and I want to get, you know, a couple thousand likes on that, and then kind of take that as proof, and of course the video, and Joe Rogan's on my side, and there's nobody against me on this, which is cool, and then I just want to get Dana on my side, and hopefully create a letter, have a couple of signatures on it that are like hopefully Lorenzo and Dana and stuff, and present that to the athletic commission and hopefully have them change it.
So hopefully that will happen. Cause yeah, you should have that. Cause I believe I think it's like Todd Duffy now might have the fastest knockout in history, if I remember right. So yeah, why shouldn't you?
Yeah. But then even that fight, like, you know, runs out, jabs the guy, falls down and does a couple of hammer fists. It wasn't even a knockout. My fight was some technically sound precision. I mean, even if that wasn't me, that was some cool stuff that happened. So, Duffy has it 7 seconds, and I mean, it was just kind of a brawling mess, to be honest.
Talking to Dwayne Ludwig of the UFC, and you've had an interesting career. You've been all over the place. You fought in the UFC several times, come back. You fought for Strikeforce. You fought in Japan. Fought overseas and before. I mean, you fought all over the place. Tell me, what's kept you going all these years fighting in these different organizations?
It's just my passion. It's in my blood. But looking back, I wish I just would have stuck with the UFC. After I fought Genki, they presented me with a couple fight contract, and I turned it down so I could go ahead and fight with K1. And if I could do things over, I would have signed up for UFC because I'd be much better at jiu-jitsu. I'd be much better as a wrestler. I'd be much better off in life, I think. But I'm happy with what I got and where I'm at. But if I could do it again, I would have signed up for UFC from the get-go.
So is there anyone that you want for your next fight?
No, I'm not here to call people out or to go for the title and, you know, be ranked on somebody's, ladder of relativity. I'm just here to have some fun, man, and just fight and share the knowledge and train and just be a student, you know?
So at age 33, you just turned 33 several weeks ago, and do you have a certain, like, people always ask, a certain time frame in which you want to stop fighting? So you're good to go wherever.
Yes, I know. I feel good. I'm having fun. This is my life. This is... You there, guys?
Yeah, still here.
All right. I know my phone's beeping. I'm having fun, and it's my passion. It's in my blood. So I'm having a good time, and I'm loving life.
We're having a good time watching you, and before we let you go, we want to give you a chance to plug any sponsors and social media. I know you're very active on Twitter, so plug
that. Yeah, you know, cause that's one thing. I'm a fan as well, so I know what it's like to be able to communicate with a fighter and stuff, and if I had somebody that I could talk to coming up, I would like that. And I kind of did with Boss, you know, but of course he's busy. But anyway, when people tweet me and Facebook me, I'm sure to respond, so it was cool, and... I got a lot of sponsors. I got Shock Doctor, Affliction, Ammo to Go, Daniel Defense, Lex Honey, KO Reps, GLC 2000. I'm gonna hopefully, guys, just go to my website, please, plainbang.com, and look at my sponsors list. Brothers Barbecue, I guess that's it. I'm not sure.
You're a popular guy.
I try, man. I try. It's fun. I'm just loving life, and I wish everybody else could experience some of the things that I've been able to experience.
Twitter.com/DwayneBangCom. Dwayne Ludwig, congratulations on the big win over Amir Sadal, and thank you so much for joining us, and good luck in the future.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Dwayne Ludwig, good guy. Big win for him, and he is, I mean, if you go to... do a search. He's fought all over the place, and it's good he's getting his string. And good, you know, his honesty there in talking about the fact that UFC had offered him a contract at one point years ago, and he turned it down, and he's recognized the fact that he made a mistake.
Yeah, and it's great to see, too, that there doesn't seem, like he said, doesn't seem to be anybody against him and him trying to kind of earn that fastest knockout record in the UFC, and hopefully he gets that soon. And also fantastic. I love when the fighters... are just very happy to see Joe Rogan, and that was so great to see him hold the Joe Rogan action figure. Like I trying to say, it's like Joe Rogan does not think it looks like him. I have to look. I don't think I've seen it yet to see how off it does look from how Joe Rogan looks, but it was great to see. And he, as you know, as comic book guys as we are, and known to get into the sort of collecting aspect of that, it's great to see that and some of these guys too, and some of these fighters that have these kind of not strange, but you know, these collecting hobbies.
That whole situation about the autograph, very similar to when you ask me for autographs after the show.
That's true. Yes.
So maybe tonight you'll get one. Maybe not.
I'm still working to try to get your action figure signed.
Good luck with that. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Bellator this weekend and some leftover MMA news and talk some more about some stuff. This is the MMA Show on New Hampshire's ESPN Radio, WGAM, The Game. All right, final segment of the WGAM MMA Show. Thanks for joining us, as always. And if you're just joining us now, however, shame on you, as always, because you've missed a great show so far. We talked about UFC coming to Fox, F-O-X, FCC. You cannot block that out because it's not a swear. We talked to Dwayne Bang Ludwig, who competed on UFC on Versus last week, and we talked a little bit about UFC on Versus. And in general, good for you, though. You don't have to wonder what the show could have sounded like, because you can always hear it. You hear all of our old shows, and you can read stuff we write. PJ, how would they do that?
Oh, you can go to WGAMthegame.com. You go under shows, search for the MMA Show. We podcast everything. Here's some great interviews. Not only today we talked to Dwayne Ludwig, but we've talked to Boss Rutan in the past. We've talked to Jim Miller in the past, even though he didn't get the win this past week.
Rick Story,
yes, who is a story. He's going to be fighting coming up. He's signed his new fight. He's going to be fighting Martin Campman.
Yes.
Coming up at UFC 139, I believe. If I get my facts straight here.
Fight at 170?
Yep. We've talked to Rick Hahn from Bellator, who just actually pulled out of his fight and in the Bellator welterweight tournament at Bellator 49. Plus a slew of other people as well. Melvin Gillard, we mentioned. Delary Ron.
Joe Lozon. Kenny Florian.
Yes.
The eons and eons of people. That doesn't even make any sense, but I said it anyway. But all kinds of people. And coming up, is it next week? the big...
That would be, nope, 2 weeks from now.
2 weeks from today.
We have our guest book from 2 weeks from now. We'll be talking to Big John McCarthy.
Right here on the MMA show.
Yes, he has a new book coming out. We are still in the process of I'm trying to get a book to give away.
Yes.
But there is a limited number to be given away, and I think we might have missed the cut, but I'm still going to try.
It's a book. They can find more. We'll just take one from the library and give it away. That'll be
Do we have a library?
There's a library somewhere. I mean, an actual physical library.
Oh, an actual physical
library. We'll go to the National Public Library, take a copy, and just give it away to people. So that'll be great. Big John McCarthy. Look at these guests we get for you guys. So you can always interact with us, obviously, on Facebook and Twitter, facebook.com. As soon as we get to we just still don't have 25 likes yet for whatever reason. And as soon as we get there, we can actually get a custom URL. And with Twitter.com, WGAM_MMA. And one of the cool things about the events, and we're starting to do more of now, is that we're starting to do some live blogging at even the shows that are on TV. So versus I did, I actually watch all the Facebook fights and all the regular fights, and each fight actually did a quick little write-up as the fights were going on. So if in the future, most times, if you happen to be around, if you had some lame Christmas party, just think ahead in like the winter time and all this stuff, and you're like, what's going on? You can always, we'll take care of you. And PJ also takes care of the tweets and things like that. So we got you covered.
Absolutely.
We got you covered. So I want to ask you real quick before we move on from UFC on Versus, any leftover thoughts? Because there was a few I had. Donald Cerrone had a great...
Ooh, did he look good.
He looked great. He is a guy
He looked probably more focused and angry than I've seen him in the past few fights.
He is now in the mix.
Yeah.
He is in the mix. He's right on that. Now that we talked about last week, he's in that with a win. Now he's in that conversation of who can he fight to see... to get in a title shot. And I think 2012 is going to be a big year for him. That was one that stuck with me. I think in looking over the
love that he has sponsors on his 10-gallon cowboy hat too.
Yes. See, you mentioned that on Twitter. That was pretty good. We talked about that Ludwig Sadala fight. I don't know if I could possibly have got over how much I love that fight to Dwayne earlier. I thought it was hard hitting. It was brutal. It was just a stand up war. I hate using that cliche term, but it was a fight, and it was awesome. So I would definitely go out of your way to see this versus replays these shows pretty often. The ratings came in, I think it was like the third highest rated show of all time, if I remember right. I saw that for the UFC on Versus, actually. On the undercard, I know, PJ, you had seen some of these fights. The ones that stuck out for me on the Facebook, Ed Herman defeating Kyle Noak. Ed Herman, after being off for about a year and a half, now is two very quick victories and starting to kind of make some rumblings at 205. That's an interesting name. Carlos Vemola did not look good in losing a unanimous decision to Ronnie Marks, who's a newcomer to the UFC. He was kind of a prospect, and he did not look good at all. Joe Benavidez looked great in basically beating up Eddie Wineland over three rounds, had a great third round. And Jared Hammond did not look good early in his fight against CB Dalloway, but turned it around and really turned out probably one of the more impressive performances of the whole card. Those are ones that stuck out to me. Cole Miller submitting. The whole card from start to finish was really good. Facebook fights included. Everything was really, really good.
And I guess from a fan perspective, as far as there seemed to be a lot of boring fights at the Philadelphia card at UFC 133. So this was a good bounce back. And this was on free TV, too.
Yeah.
You didn't have to pay for this one. And then they had a ton of good fights.
Yeah. I actually, you mentioned halfway through, I'm just like, man, I wish I saw these undercard fights in Philly. another one, Jimmy Hetz, I'm sure I'm pronouncing his name wrong. Jimmy Hetz, defeating Alex Bruce Leroy Caceres. He looked really good in that fight. That was awesome. So yeah, whole show was really fun. So if you can get a chance to check it out, please do so. And so other things before we go, Bellator 48 coming up this weekend in Mohegan Sun. Our background in Uncasville, Connecticut. If you're listening in this area, you know how to find Mohegan Sun. The finals of the eight-man featherweight tournament. This is the third event in Bellator Summer Series. Pat Curran versus Marlon Sandro for the featherweight tournament championship. The winner getting a shot at Joe Warren at some point. You also have two heavyweight bouts. Cole Conrad, who is their heavyweight champion, fighting former UFC-er Paul Buentello.
That is a non-title fight.
That is a non-title, a super fight, as they call it. Rico Rodriguez, former UFC heavyweight champion, fighting Seth Petruzzelli, a.k.a. the Kimbo Killer. He was the guy that beat Kimbo Slice when a radio show was told, basically said he was told to stand up. So he also killed Elite XC as well. So he'll be on that card fighting against Rico Rodriguez. And also a lightweight fight, Juan Brantas versus Rene Nazare. And I'm looking at here on the rest of the undercard. No one else I really recognize. Dan Kramer is a UFC-er, I believe, former UFC-er. But overall, it seems to be a pretty entertaining four-fight card. Any thoughts on Bellator from you?
Well, I'm just thinking this is their time on MTV2 might be winding down by the end of this year. This you might be seeing them on Spike TV or Versus, possibly, if they choose to continue with MMA with the news that UFC is moving to Fox and leaving their longtime partner in Spike and Versus. Or it's more or less Spike. Versus just started not too long ago.
Right.
So
the former Outdoor Life Network, yep. I believe.
And Spike, the former national network, the former Nashville network, yes. Country station.
Isn't it weird all that stuff works?
Yeah, the evolution of cable TV to national TV channels and how things work out like that. So
interesting stuff. When are we going to get our TV deal?
I thought you said, were we purchased by UFC? Didn't you mention that at the beginning of the show?
Sorry, yeah, I forgot to recap that. If you're joining us late, we got bought by the UFC. all of us did. So yeah,
and you mentioned real quick, you mentioned Kimbo Slice. He just, I believe, won his first boxing match.
Yes.
In 17 seconds.
Oh, boy.
I think that was the official time.
Go find the footage on that one on YouTube. It's very quick. I don't know if I'm impressed. Also, his promoter, Jared Shaw, former MMA guy with Elite XC, basically trying to start stuff with Dana White and saying that Dana's mistake made him look good again and that he's a heavyweight contender now and all this stuff. It's
In boxing, but yeah, and he was not. And this is probably the best career choice for him because he was not going to be a contender in any way in mixed martial arts. He just didn't have the background.
Sure.
And it would have taken him too long to catch up.
Well, and that's what it was actually said as much as that, you know, it's just punching. Just don't worry about all that other stuff. And we'll see. Boxing is a very odd sport, as most people know. And any way you can make money, they will do it. And I guarantee a year from this, I'll make a bold prediction. A year from today, Kimbo will be a heavyweight champion of some organization.
I like to say that would never happen, but yeah.
It's in boxing. How are we doing on time?
We just got about just over a minute left.
Oh,
we're doing good.
Was that the music is going to probably hit in a minute. Oh, there it is. Very sad music. I'm looking to see if there's any other quick hit news I can throw in here.
You want to mention real quick about the tragic passing this...
Oh, Sean Tompkins.
Yeah,
yeah, it was Sunday. Sean Tompkins passing away, apparently due to a heart attack. He was, 38 years old?
37.
37 yeah. years old. A guy,
very well respected. They mentioned it quickly during the broadcast.
Which I thought was good. Yeah. I thought they did. That must have been tough for a lot of people there just because of the show's going on and all this stuff with... you know, have that news break. It was kind of, it was weird. You know what I mean? It's tragic news, but it kind of weird feeling overall. But terrible news with that. But with a positive note, I also want to thank Dwayne Bang Ludwig for joining us. You know, look for all the information there. Thank PJ.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank all you guys for listening. It's been the WGA MMA show. And until next week, keep your chin down and your hands up. Good night.